Whoa! Listener, do you know what you just did? By pressing play, you just activated a whole bunch of binary data, zeros and ones, sent them flying through the air and through fiber optic cables, only to be sucked up into your personal computing device, reassembled into audio and video, and bombarded at your sensory orifices. All of that to construct this, the 101st episode of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Thanks! This wouldn't have existed without your help. We got your geek news and this week's comic book TV show reviews for this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Thursday, May 12th, 2016.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Dude, how trippy is that? The future is great. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And completing our three-man booth,
Geek Booner,
is our lovely felty pal, coming to you live from a couple of alleys down from Oscar the Grouch, but from a similar garbage can from the bad side of Sesame Street. We got Rugberto Bambino, Good Earth to your rugs.
Good at you, and what's up, dudes?
What's up? And this is the real Rug Boy. Not often imitated, duplicated, but never truly the real Rug Boy. I screwed that up. I don't know what
I would go with. Easily duplicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Possibly.
And not at all imitated by the fact that we ran a contest and no one
went right.
I think that's what I meant. Easily duplicated, never imitated. I don't know what I'm saying. Nice to see you guys. How you guys doing? Welcome to the Jock and Nerd Weekly, gang. Regular listeners, you know what's going to happen. If you're a first-time listener, we're going to do what we usually do. We're live on Blab. We got this week's geek news for you. We're going to review this week's latest fresh episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. I got a couple of feedbacks, a couple of things to read, and then at the end, if you hang out in the Blab, we're going to open up the box and geek out with you guys. And I kind of want to know what you guys think about this little movie called Captain America Civil War that just came out. And we just reviewed in our last episode, episode 100, we're going to continue to talk about this movie because there's a lot of good things to talk about. hey, Jesse Looney, what's up? Jesse Looney.
Oh, there he is.
The man.
I think I just said that.
Yeah.
Hey, we're in triple digits, dudes. It's a new era.
Holy nutballs. Well, you know what? Let's not dilly-dally. We're going to get right to the news. But before we get to the news, you guys, I think we should real quick, let's, for the audience here and for people who maybe didn't hear our Civil War review, let's give our quick thoughts. What do we think of the movie overall? Anthony, you go first.
Fantastic movie. Best Marvel film yet from the MCU. Just a great movie overall, and anyone that disagrees with me, I just don't understand how you think at all. So
I don't understand how we mentioned a certain person at our place of employment said that he fell asleep twice during the movie, at which point I was like, dude, I can't even talk to you anymore. I'm very sorry. Just keep walking. Rugs, your quick review.
I tried to fall asleep, but I couldn't.
No. You can't.
It's too exciting.
Like, absolutely.
No, there were some slow parts in it. Yeah, I agree. But overall, the movie is full of awesome action. If you wait through the 10, 15 minutes of talking, there's always something happening. There's an action scene in the beginning. There's a couple in the middle. And there's a big one at the end. And then there's another big fight at the very end with Captain America and Iron Man. And it's great.
I mean, I'll agree. Look, no movie is perfect. And in our review, it has flaws. But the good stuff, the feeling you get from this watching this, the joy that you get from this movie outweighs all those little kind of plot flaws, whatever, so much that you don't even care. And that's what it comes down to. Whereas that certain other movie, the balance was kind of the opposite. There was a tiny bit of good. And the rest of the time, you're like, what the fuck is going on? So, yeah, highly recommended, great movie, near perfect, but an amazing entry into Marvel's cinematic universe. So, having said that, we're going to start some of the news, and we're going to get to the news, because we're going to talk more about Captain America Civil War.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
So, no surprise, this movie is obviously destroying it at the box office. I mean, it came out a week before internationally, before it even released in the U.S., and it made shitloads of money. But, dude, I just saw this article in Industry Insiders. This dude, Gitesh Pandya of BoxOfficeGuru.com, he says, a strong Chinese performance and a predictably good American opening have put the film on course to take about $950 million worldwide by the end of this weekend. Meaning, meaning in less than 7 days, in a little over a week, sorry, it will have broke the total cumulative box office take of Batman versus Superman.
Let's put this in context, yes. Imran. Worldwide, it came out two weeks ago, so not in 7 days.
That's true. In 7 days from a U.S. release. Correct.
But awesome.
Still, but great. Still, really fast, and wow, that's crazy.
It's going to hit a billion.
It absolutely will. It's going to hit a billion by next fucking week. You know,
if you look at just day-to-day, so from in comparison to that other movie, I'm just going to say it, Batman versus
Superman.
We can
say it now. We were playing a game in the last episode. But
if you look at like Friday to Saturday and then Saturday to Sunday, Batman v Superman decreased 30% each day.
Yeah.
Whereas Civil War decreased a little less than 20% from Friday to Saturday and then the 30%. So there was a much more of a significant drop-off. Also, Batman v Superman decreased about almost 70% from one weekend to the next domestically. Yeah, and Civil War, I don't anticipate that happening with Civil War at all with the good word of mouth and the way the numbers are trending.
It's going to have a very strong May. And I saw another article that this Disney itself is just dominating. Like they've made $1 billion in profit already, which is earlier than they did last year with because Zootopia has made almost $1 billion. Disney is killing it, dude. And then with Star Wars, it's going to be you just need to buy stock in Disney right now, everyone. It's going
sure, it's super expensive right now.
Right now is probably not the best time. But if you are a Disney stockholder, you are having a blast. Now, one of the scenes, by the way, there's going to be stuff that hasn't come out, we're going to spoil. All right? You've been warned. Because I want to talk about this one scene in Captain America Civil War towards the beginning of the movie. The MIT presentation Tony Stark gives to the kids where he's demonstrating this tech that taps into his memories and 3D hologram virtually recreates it. And you see like a 20-year-old Tony Stark. And man, it looks really good. Ruggs, what'd you think of that? I couldn't stop staring at him in that scene.
Yeah, I felt like I was looking into a mirror. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
He looked young and supple.
He was so smooth and taut and sexy. He was
Geek Booner.
There's a great article at comicbook.com where THR had interviewed the effects team. They're called Lola VFX, and visual effects supervisor Trent Klaus explained some of the work that went into that. And it did start with a performance. Instead of completely replacing the actor with a digital double, this method allowed us to retain the actor's performance and nuances. Then we began to adjust the on-set footage of Tony Stark through digital compositing. But this is great. He talks about aging. Like this, you don't think about these things. Every feature of the face and body needed to be addressed in some fashion. One thing that happens to all of us is that the skin of the face gradually lowers in certain areas and needs to be lifted back to where it was at the age in question. But other changes are incredibly subtle, such as the increase in the way the light reflects off the sheen of the skin, a reduction in the appearance of tiny blood vessels under the surface of some parts of the face, or more blood flow, giving them a youthful glow. Like, they really went into a lot of detail. They said that this is Downey Jr. at about less than zero. Less than zero Robert Downey Jr., which is, he was like in his early 20s. The movie Less Than Zero he did in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Brett Easton Ellis. Movie. Yeah, it's before you were born. Sorry.
There's no superheroes in it.
There's no superheroes.
Robert Downey Jr. snorting coke like there's no tomorrow.
Dude, it's a great movie based on a crazy Bret Easton Ellis book who wrote American Psycho. And it's the young, crazy Rat Pack Downey Jr. that could not be controlled by studios.
Watch it.
Yeah, it's fucking good. So they analyzed that footage, and I love it. I love the job they did. Like, I think that should win some kind of special effects nomination.
It was pretty dazzling.
It's very seamless.
It was good. It's the best it's ever looked. I mean, they did it with Ant-Man and what's his name? Michael Douglas in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
This was a lot cleaner, in my opinion. They also have done it with Tron Legacy with Jeff Bridges. They did it with – they had Arnold in Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, but yeah. And it seems to be getting better every time somebody tries to do
it. It's getting like exponentially better.
Yes.
Every time.
To where you may not have to recast the entire MCU. You just fucking get airbrushed Photoshop, smooth them out, boom. You can keep going for another 30 years.
That'll cost them like $1 billion. Yeah.
I don't think you can do a whole film with it like that, but scenes.
It'll get cheaper, just like VCRs. They used to be expensive. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sorry, VCRs.
I understand the reference.
Okay, good. I'm not that fucking old. Now, the other reason I think that Civil War is going to dominate the box office through May, not just because it's a fucking great action-packed movie, you should all go see it, is that the next superhero movie coming out that may compete for the dollars is X-Men Age of Apocalypse. Now, we've talked about why there is no buzz.
That's not what it's called. it's called Apocalypse.
I squished all the movies together. It's called X-Men Age of Civil Apocalypse's War on Ultron. It might as well be called.
When did that come out?
Late May. However, Ruggs,
Memorial Day weekend.
Ruggs, are you looking forward to this movie, Rug Boy?
I like alpaca's lips.
alpaca lips?
Yeah, I like the alpaca butts too. Anyway, that's what people are saying, that they don't like Apocalypse. They don't like the way
Apocalypse.
He is in the
movie. Yeah.
They don't like him as a villain in this movie, but I'm going to watch it because I like Bryan Singer. I like all the actors that are playing all the X-Men from previous movies. And I'm sure it's going to be worth watching. I don't think it's going to be a clusterfuck like Batman versus.
I don't think it'll be a clusterfuck, but it appears
to
be.
Yeah. Not good.
Anthony, what have you heard? It appears to be a swing and a miss, too little, too late, kind of the same shit and nobody cares kind of thing.
Without spoiling it, the last time I checked, and this has been like a couple days ago, it was like at 46% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, 46, 47.
And basically, I've heard it, like, it starts out really hot and then just kind of fizzles out, and a lot of the characters just have no character development whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I feel like...
But we haven't seen it, so we can't...
But
this is what Fox does. Like, they do movies that are not as good as Marvel. So
they got one hit, Deadpool, one miss with this one. Yeah. But Deadpool was like such a special circumstance that I don't even
we'll all still watch it and probably throw out a review.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
And I don't think it's going to be that bad.
No, I don't think it's going to be awful.
I think it's going to be like mediocre to okay.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Ruggs. I think it's just going to be okay. I'm just, you know, they're not really serving us anything new. I feel like we're going to see we're going to get another Quicksilver, everything, slow motion, cool looking scene, but we've seen that. We're going to get the same characters, just younger. We've seen different versions of them. I don't know. We'll see.
I think people are quick to troll, so you know what I mean?
Well,
we live in now.
It's true, but these are reviews. Like, the review embargo has been lifted because I think they thought they had a good movie. And this probably shocked them a little bit.
What they were doing is they were trying to ride the wave of like the superhero hype, because they released the reviews they released the embargo over the weekend, thinking
smart.
They could capitalize on them.
Yeah.
But they overplayed their hand because the critics don't like the movie. So.
Kind of bit them.
Oh, shit.
Bit them in the ass just a little bit. I'm going to go see the movie. We'll make our own judgment, and you will hear a review. Moving on, we have a link from our Facebook group. Daniel Nosker left us a link to this awesome article with tons of rumors for the MCU. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to highlight a couple of them because they're kind of interesting.
Hit the spoiler button because very spoilery.
So, okay, that's one thing I wanted to ask. Before, though, we have a Facebook group. If you guys want to come hang out, just go to jockandnerd.com/community. If you're on the Facebooks, get to know us. We get to know you. First name basis. It's been a lot of fun. Now, Anthony, to your point, before I read any of these, these are considered rumors. Will I be accused or scolded later for possibly spoiling something like a year or 2 years from now that I'm just considering a rumor? What is the difference?
Not unless you hit the spoiler button.
Oh, that's all it's got to do? Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
So if you do not want to be spoiled, just stop listening for the next.
But again,
these are
rumors, right?
These are rumors, but
they come from 4chan via Reddit. Is that reputable for rumors?
I don't know. I have no idea. But there's stuff in here.
There is stuff. I'm going to, if you want to pick one out, I'm going to talk about the Spider-Man. Speculation isn't spoiling. Thank you.
Oh, fuck.
I am to R Riddle R in the chat. Of course, I'm going to talk about the Spider-Man. That's the ones I'm going to discuss, and there's another cool one. Now, But thank you for defending me in the chat. That guy's awesome.
Well, no, here's why this isn't speculation.
Right.
This is a guy passing this off as fact.
Well, that's,
so if this is actually fact,
true.
That's more, this isn't me and you going, what do you think is going to be in the next Spider-Man?
That's a good
movie?
Point. But then it's still a rumor. Potential.
Yeah, it has not been confirmed, so right. we can talk about it.
Okay, I'm fucking doing it. I already hit the fucking...
Oh, yeah, we can talk about
the
it.
The main villains of Spider-Man Homecoming...
Who cares?
Fuck off. Are Norman Osborn and the Vulture.
Okay, we knew that already.
With appearances by Spencer Smythe, who invents the Spider Slayer, and Miles Warren, who is the Jackal, who eventually clones Peter in that great storyline. So we knew some of that. Some of this is a little new and interesting. Check this out. There's something else we knew. Michael Keaton was approached to play Osborn, but declined because he didn't want to commit to a multi-picture contract. Other actors are now being approached, including Jason Clarke, which that's the guy from Terminator, right?
Yeah.
And Dougray Scott to play the Vulture, which that sounds cool. Just gets
he's
up.
Kind of old, but he's not that old.
We have more. Mark Rylance has been approached about playing the Vulture. I don't know who that is. And Gary Oldman is in negotiations to play Smythe.
Whoa.
And McCarthy, who's McCarthy, is in early talks to play Warren. I don't know who McCarthy is. So then it goes on to say, Peter won't have a prominent love interest in the first movie, although he will have a crush on Liz Allen, who is being played by Laura Harrier. Flash Thompson will also appear with Blake Jenner in talks to play him. Daniel Zavato and Charlie Rowe are in talks to play Harry Osborn. So
I have questions for you, Spider-Man.
Are we going full 90s? Yeah, Tom asked.
Is it Charlie Cox?
No, Charlie Rowe. Charlie Rowe.
Okay.
I have questions. All right. Some of these names I don't recognize.
Okay.
So who is – I've got three names.
Okay.
Who is Spencer Smythe, Miles Warren, and Liz Allen? Where are these people?
Spencer Smythe is an old like scientist dude who he builds robots, and he's tuned them in to find Spider-Man. He builds these things called Spider Slayers, which at some point like Jameson – kind of commissions him or uses him to get Spider-Man, and there's like a computer screen. There's different versions. And then his son, his son was also became a Alistair Smith, also became building these things. Right, Ruggs?
That's right. And then the Jackal is the other guy, Warren.
Miles Warren, who is a professor at College of Peters.
Yeah, and he gets dressed up in this crazy like costume.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous.
Looks like a gremlin.
Yeah.
And he's like a cloney guy. He makes clones. He messes with biology.
He's the guy who actually he sets off the whole clone war bullshit. He clones Gwen Stacy. He clones
Peter. I
think
I have his first appearance, right?
He's the green in the green thing. And then Liz Allen was early. I think she worked at the paper with Betty Brant.
No, Liz Allen was one of
the – she went to high school.
She was one of the chicks that went to high school. She was like the hottest chick in school that was banging Flash Thompson.
She was actually like one of the first female characters introduced into the Spider-Man comic books, like predating.
Did her and PD ever hook up?
They flirted. She was married to one Ned Leeds, who, again, this is 30-year-old story. So turns out to be the Hobgoblin in a great story. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So they're going back to the 90s. They're going back to a little bit of the roots. I like that they're using different villains. I don't want to have to see fucking Harry Osborn again. Whatever.
They might be. This is not definite.
They might say it's all rumor, right? Okay, Anthony, any of these strike your fancy that you find interesting?
I looked at all of them. The next one I was looking at was Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Featuring Kate Blanchett as Hela.
Right.
Surtur will be in this. Josh Brolin will have an appearance as Thanos that leads into Avengers Infinity War. Tessa Thompson, who's from Creed, is playing Brumhild, the Warrior Valkyrie, and she's Thor's new romantic interest. In Jane and Thor are no longer together in this one. They split on amicable terms due to his responsibilities as the Guardian of the Nine Realms. So.
Well, we knew she wasn't coming back, so that's these are all great rumors. Planet Hulk cameo in Thor 3. And then, okay, the last one I want to mention is stuff about Phase 4 and Netflix. Rumor is there's interest in the Sentry, Spider-Woman, Hercules, I don't know about that one, Photon, I don't know who that is, Nova, the Young Avengers, and the Thunderbolts for Phase 4.
No, these aren't Netflix. These are just Phase 4, and then they got Netflix shows after that.
Yeah, this is just the Phase 4, what they're looking at. And then for Netflix, they're looking at – first of all, what do you guys think of all that? I could do a Spider-Woman movie.
Sentry is fucking crazy.
Remember Peter Kendall said he wanted to play Nova, so I hope they do that one.
Nova would be cool because it would be like the Marvel's Green Lantern kind of thing.
Yeah,
Green Lantern, Spidey in space,
Is Photon like Quasar?
I don't know who Photon is. But Nova Yucata, you already set up the shit in Guardians of the Galaxy. It would be very easy to bring you the Nova. And then Thunderbolts is kind of like their Suicide Squad. And it's awesome if they do like Elektra and Red Hulk and Venom and Punisher. Well, they wouldn't do Punisher, but that could be fucking badass.
No, that's the – they're talking about the team, the new Thunderbolts. The old Thunderbolts were actual villains, dude.
Oh.
I believe Bullseye was in the Thunderbolts and a lot of like crazy fucking guys that were – it's exactly like Suicide Squad where they were doing work for the government to be redeemed.
Yeah.
You could still have a Venom in that one. And then on Netflix, they – rumor, Blade, Moon Knight – and Ghost Rider,
Geek Booner,
being lined up for Netflix shows. I could see all of them being awesome Netflix shows.
Sure.
And then the Phase 4 storylines, I'll just tag on to that real quick. Some of them that are being considered are Secret Invasion, which is the Skrulls, which was a huge storyline. And then I don't know if you guys are familiar with Siege, but
what
that's
was that one
that's
about?
That one's when so Norman Osborn takes over as Iron Patriot.
Oh, right.
And he
right.
is basically running the Avengers, but he's
the
like
dark
running
Avengers.
This. Yeah, the Dark Avengers. But no one knows. Everyone thinks these are like the real Avengers, but they're all Dark Avengers and they attack Asgard and try to bring it down. Even in,
dude,
I
just realized that Marvel has an incredible opportunity to make an awesome bad guy on the level of your, you know, Kingpin and Loki in Norman Osborn, because he's kind of like their Lex Luthor of the universe. This guy will fuck with the Avengers. He'll fuck with Spider-Man. He don't care, and he's ruthless. If they do it right, he could be amazing moving forward into Phase 4.
He's like evil Tony Stark. I mean, he's got the wealth.
Yes.
He's got money behind him.
If he can stay sane long enough.
I am Mr. Tom Riddle R.
Yeah.
He's talking about Sentry,
Tom.
Who I thought.
Yeah.
All right. Agoraphobic being with the power of 1,000 exploding suns.
That's
so.
Sentry, right?
Sentry is a crazy, he has like bipolar disorder, like kind of like this bipolar personality where he like at sometimes remembers who he is and sometimes thinks he's this hero, and he's like, he kills a lot of people.
And he's like unbelievably powerful, cosmic.
He's like Superman.
Yeah, he's like one of the most powerful beings.
He's like Superman without like the moral, the conscious, like.
He's basically Batman versus Superman.
Sort of, yeah.
Even,
it's a little more crazy.
Look, speaking of Moon Knight on Netflix, I just got to bring to attention the new Moon Knight series by Jeff Lemire. There's only two issues. It's really good. It's crazy. It's schizophrenic. The guy, like, basically, he just wakes up in a mental asylum and he doesn't know what's going on. And he has these flashes of being a Moon Knight, and they just keep like shock therapying him. It's really good. And then he goes into all this crazy mythology of the Moon Knight. It's great. I would pick that up. And also, The Vision and Doctor Strange are really good. From Marvel, right now. All right, thanks, Daniel, from the Facebook group for that link. That was a lot of fun. Moving on to some DCEU rumored news. We knew Willem Dafoe got cast in Justice League. He's playing a good guy. Well, rumor is, again, rumor, he's playing an Atlantean. So possibly a buddy of Mr. Arthur Curry's. We also got rumor of who the bad guy is in Justice League.
Oh, I saw this.
Right? And it's that, you know, if you saw that deleted scene from Batman vs. Superman where there's that big guy with a giant head spiky thing and there's three mother boxes, apparently that's Steppenwolf, the amazing Canadian-American rock band from the 70s. So
I'm curious what Rugboy thinks of this.
Get your motor running.
Yo, they should just, when he comes on, they should just play Born to, what's the song? Magic Carpet Ride.
Born to Be Wild.
And they did Magic Carpet Ride. They're an amazing rock band. I love Steppenwolf. There's also a theater in Chicago, Steppenwolf Theater. But, Ruggs, what do you think? Steppenwolf and maybe an appearance of Darkseid fighting in like a flashback in the beginning or some shit?
I'm down for whatever. I mean, I'll take Steppenwolf. Why not?
Here's what I like Steppenwolf, although it is a disappointment in terms of what they could have picked, like Brainiac, Darkseid, you know, some other character with a little bit more of a name.
Yeah.
If Snyder's still going to direct this movie, if he's going to fuck up a character, he might as well fuck up a nothing character like Steppenwolf.
I agree. And he's directing this movie. It's already being shot. Hopefully something happens. They get him fucking off it. But Anthony, I like your perspective. Let him fuck up this Steppenwolf. Nobody gives a fuck. He's just get to the big thing. What's up? We got furries in the house on the blab. Thanks for joining.
I saw a lot of comments online from people that were hating on the film, which we've done as well, where they were like, this is how crazy that like film was, Batman v Superman. They teased the villain in this movie,
yeah,
but then decided to cut it from the main final cut. So they literally had a teaser for what they were teasing, but then they just cut it out. They're like,
it's like if they left out like Thanos in every movie that he was in. They're like, you know what? Fuck this thing. This is not important. Yeah. I also heard rumors of how they're kind of shooting the underwater stuff. Instead of like in Batman vs. Superman, he was actually in a tank of water. They're doing a lot of this on kind of like a floating green screen thing where they have
they already started shooting the movie?
They have started shooting the movie, and it's all a lot of it, just like Batman vs. Superman, like that shot of the Trinity where there's fire behind them, it was all on a studio in green screen. And I understand it's a technique. It could be you use this technique, but he does a lot of this green screen, and it makes everything seem kind of flat. So from what I heard, Justice League is going to be shot entirely in a studio, lots of green screen, so that there's no leaks, nobody gets any information, they can't shoot the set, but a lot of the shit is even like outdoor shit, explosions, it's going to be green screen. So that's what he likes. Wow. It's the Snyder style. Yeah, I don't.
It's the new era of filmmaking, Snyder.
It really is. All right, in TV news, let's continue with the DCEU. We've got some good news. As much as Warner Brothers, DC, with their movie franchises or whatever they're doing, they're killing it on television, people. They got tons of series. As Supergirl, not only is it getting a season two, not only is it moving to Vancouver, which is going to cut that $3 million an episode budget right away, it's moving to the CW. So that is all.
Geek Mooner.
I think that's pretty cool for the Supergirl. I think that's probably a better place for the show, and I honestly think it will make the show a little bit better, a little bit.
It's the CW, it's the DC Network now. You should just rename it. DC Comics Network.
It pretty much is. They are dominating. So, like, every day.
We all thought this was going to happen. And I think it's the perfect
move. Jordan of the Pies nails it. We should call it the DCW. Get it?
Talking nerd.
But, they talked about the cost. So, Vancouver is going to cheapen everything. And then the Warners and CBS has a deal. Less licensing, more crossover with everyone.
Like,
now they can really.
Like Red Boy said, I hinted at it. It's. The licensing fees that CBS had to pay WB is not worth it anymore. And WB can just put it on a network they already own. It just made sense.
Yeah, and they can make the money.
They're
and
dominant.
It'll all go back to the WB or the CW, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And maybe they'll make more shows.
Look, DC is expanding from the CW. We talked about this new sitcom, comedy. NBC has picked up the DC superhero comedy Powerless for a season on the network. And there's photos of the set. Danny Pudi's in this. Alan Tudyk. Sarah Hutchins. It was created. Oh, and there's Crimson Fox. Do you know Crimson Fox? Anybody familiar with Crimson Fox? From Justice League Europe in the 90s. Will be in the show.
Just nothing but like crickets when you said that.
Yeah.
I got nothing for this.
So
I might watch
Crimson Fox the robot?
No, Crimson Fox was it was an identity used by twin sisters. They used their chemical skills. They owned a perfume empire. They used their chemical skills to develop scents that will give them control of pheromones. Take control.
I mean, if they're going on the comedy aspect, then yeah, Crimson Fox is definitely going to work.
Right.
Because that's a lame fucking power.
I don't think I'm going to watch this show. I'm not really excited about it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have
Imran to see. Watch it.
I love, what's his name, Abed from Communities on it. I'll watch it for him. He's hilarious. Hopefully the cast will be good, and we'll see how the writing is. Now, moving on to the MCU, some good news first. Word has come out that Jessica Jones Season 2 and The Defenders will film back-to-back. Which, that's awesome, because then they can tie the stuff together, and I'm excited for both series. What do you think this means, guys? What can they do when they film? I like when they film things back-to-back.
Well,
it cut down
the cost, number one, because they don't need to hire a second crew and everything. They're all using the same crew, and it probably is better for continuity's sake,
yeah.
You know?
They also come out quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, production gets cut down, so they might be able to squeeze 3 Netflix series in a year. And then I read another...
I've been hoping for that. Yeah, yeah. I've been rooting for that.
I think they should. I read another article where they kind of hinted what the next season would loosely be is a lot of Jessica Jones dealing with the fact that she fucking killed, you know...
When is Jessica Jones season 2, 2018?
It's going to be after The Defenders.
Defenders is going to be filmed in the fall and come out next year.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's possible maybe fall next year.
Plus then, when is this Punisher thing going to happen? We have no release dates for that. Will it be after this?
What I'm getting at is they need to get to 3.
Yeah.
3 years, because if they're going to keep doing season 1, season 2, you can't wait over a year to release like another season of this. Like, it doesn't make sense.
That's what The Sopranos did, and it was annoying. They would take forever, dude. Sometimes they took like almost 2 years at one point. Moving on, but it was fucking good and worth it. Moving on to some bad news from Marvel in the MCU on the TV front. Confirmed Agent Carter canceled season 2.
I told you.
after season 2, her pilot got picked up. Conviction. Tom says, meh. I like Hayley Atwell. I'm okay. I'm not broken up about it. We'll see her somewhere.
I had enough of that, Joe.
It really did kind of reach the end of its little bit there. Like, what more could they do? Love the show. Will always live on in my hearts. Some more bad news.
In your hearts? Multiple hearts?
Multiple. I have 12 hearts. I'm from the planet Xerxes.
What? Xerxes is in 300, you asshole.
And it's also a planet.
What is this planet? Xerxes, where's that at?
It's in space.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
outer space.
The spinoff show, Tom says, is that why they killed her in Civil War, Peggy Carter? Well, I mean, she was 95 years old, so the character had to go, but...
I would go with no. I think it was part of the plot to further Cap's journey.
Definitely more, part of Civil War than the TV show. But the spinoff that I was kind of excited for, nobody else was, Marvel's Most Wanted with Bobby and Lance. That shit ain't happening either, people. So Marvel is strike 2, and you know what? Just figure out. They got that.
Whoever designed that logo ruined the show.
I think so. That logo alone was not impressive. I wouldn't have picked it up just from. I'm from Gallifrey, Jordan says. Is that a Game of Thrones thing? I don't know. Finally, I got 2 last bits. Doctor Who. So many things.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, Doctor Who.
Who cares?
Okay. We got in other news, another thing that makes me feel like a kid, this Voltron series coming to Netflix in June. We finally got a proper trailer with dialogue, and it's got action. And, man, there's just something about the way they did this that instantly takes me back to being a kid with a big bowl of cereal. You got Steven Yeun doing a voice of Keith. We got Lance, Jeremy Shada, Pidge. I don't know who these other people are. Hunk and Josh Keaton's Shiro, who used to be Sven, but now he's Shiro. And they've changed a couple of things, it seems. Instead, they aren't space explorers that are sent to find Voltron. Instead, they are cadets who stumble onto the legend and discover the resting place of one of the lions, the Blue Lions, before finding the rest of them. And then you get to see Eris and the princess, and it looks awesome, dude. I don't know what it is. This does something to me unlike what I wanted, like G.I. Joe, Transformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to do, and they didn't. This does it. This gets me right my little 8-year-old feels. It's touching me in my 8-year-old parts, Voltron is.
I'm still on the fence about it.
Did you watch the trailer, Ruggs?
Yeah. I'm like, it could be good. The trailer looks good. So I'm withholding because Voltron's been fucked over like about twice since they tried to reboot it twice, and they failed both times.
Yeah, Tom says, I'm so happy they went with original series characters. That's what I'm talking about, man. It's respect.
Do you want my thoughts or no?
Yes. What do you think?
I had no idea what the fuck you were talking about. You might as well have been speaking another language. I got nothing.
You didn't watch the trailer?
No.
All right, moving on. Did you watch this next trailer? We're not big gamers. But there's a big video game movie coming out. Ruggs, have you played this game? Assassin's Creed, the new trailer for the movie.
I have played that game.
All right, well, let me just tell you, from not being a gamer, this trailer looks kind of sick, dude. This movie, look, I love the parkour. I love the aerial shots. It looked kind of cool. I kind of get the story, something about a guy in the future, and he's in the future and the past, and there's a big hand, like, controlling him, like the joystick in the carnival game where you drop down, and the claw game. There's a big claw game. The action looks sick. I liked how they used, was that Kanye they used in the trailer? I like the hip hop music.
Rugboy, have you seen the trailer?
No, I have not seen the trailer.
My question was, is this going to break the curse of bad video game movie adaptations? Because they're all bad.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. I don't know. But the game is really good. And if they do anything like the game, then it'll be cool. And there's parquet in it, even though I prefer butter.
I can't believe that's not parkour.
Yeah.
Ruggs, what is the game about in a nutshell?
Basically, you're part of this group of assassins. It's like this guild. And you have to like navigate time and like do these missions. And yeah, a lot of it involves running across rooftops, sneaking up on people and doing crazy shit sneaking up on them and killing them. And it's just really cool. It's like a very, the way that they render the game, it's like in the second one, you're running through a Renaissance and you're hanging out with Lorenzo de' Medici and Leonardo da Vinci and all these crazy characters.
What's the deal
with,
this is what Jordan says in the comment, whoa, 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 you missed the part where he's in the consciousness of his ancestors. What's all that bit about?
Yeah, there's like a thing where he goes like kind of like consciousness travels through his like past lives.
It's sort of like Hive from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., huh?
Oh, he can remember his ancestors and goes, that's why it looks like he's in there in the future, but also looks like they're like way in the past.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like what they do with Wolverine and they put him through time.
Oh, that kind of thing. Yeah. Days of Future Past thing. All right. I don't know. I was like, I don't never played this game, but this looks kind of cool. Unlike Jordan's going to hate this, but Warcraft, I don't think that's not going to be good.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for Warcraft at all.
I went to the comic book store and I saw that they had Warcraft figures. And I turned to the guy. I'm like, "You're not going to be selling any of these, dude." And he just looked at me and like it was like, give me like a nod of like disappointment.
Jordan says, "I'm going to watch it." Okay, look, Jordan, watch it. We want a full report. Then you're going to come review the movie on one of these shows, and you can let us know if it's worth money at all. All right. Well, look. That wraps up the news. Let's get to the TV shows, everybody.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Prepare to be spoiled.
Lots of spoiling going on still from here on out. We are talking about this week's latest episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 3, Episode 20, titled Emancipation. Hive wants to emancipate the humans from being less than... extraordinary, I guess. He's all twisted.
Well,
he's twisted.
That's not entirely true.
No.
He wants to create an army of mindless people he can control. That's what he wants.
Right, but he spins it as, I'm freeing the humans from their mindless lives. Just let me control them. They have nothing to worry about. I'll tell you, some days, you know, when weeks are bad, I wish Hive was just telling me what the fuck to do. I can't think. I don't want to make a choice. I don't know what I'm going on.
You
but
can
look.
Just call me. I'll tell you what to do.
Okay, I will text the. I need a Rugboy hotline. Here's the big thing, everybody. This movie, Civil War, just came out, which has a huge, supposedly it's all hashtag barely connected hashtag effect,
nice.
Rippling through the MCU hither and thither. And well, I don't know if I liked how they did it or I didn't. It was more than just a line. It was pretty much baked into the entire plot of the episode. And I love the beginning. First of all, in the beginning, they did exactly what I said they were going to do. You see the fucking news story in the bar of Captain America's missing, Sokovia Accords, blah, blah, blah. And then you see Coulson with the obituary of Peggy Carter. And then that gets kind of deep. It gets meaningful. You know, he's like Peggy and Steve were there from the beginning. And now what's going to happen? You know, and you kind of feel bad for him. What did you guys think of how they handled this Sokovia Accords tie-in?
I think it was cool because, you know, they have this whole thing about the registration. It's going to affect S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Yeah, which is why Talbot shows up. He's like, okay, where's your fucking powered people? I need them on a list.
Yeah, so basically it gives more detail to what the Sokovia Accords entail. Like, they briefly talk about it in Civil War, but now you're going to see it actually in action.
Yeah, I mean,
so it does help.
Yeah, he says
the story.
He says it's the law of the land, and May's even like, we can't be shackled by the government. What are we going to do?
And that's the thing. They made it seem so black and white in Civil War.
Yeah,
And even with Talbot, you could see it's a little flexible. He's willing to play ball.
With Talbot and Coulson, like, at the you know, they're both flexible. Anthony, what do you think about how they did it?
I felt like it made sense within, you know, what is going on in S.H.I.E.L.D. Obviously, they're using Inhumans, so these characters, they were using the term register, which is something that they didn't use in the movie, and that's more of a comic book term from Civil War.
Yeah.
So it made sense within the plot. I read reviews where some felt it was shoehorned in, and some felt it was, you know, a good essential part of the plot, building on already what's going on. I was kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
The only thing it did make sense. Like I said, the only thing I just don't like is it's again another one of those scenarios where the S.H.I.E.L.D. is, or the show is like, hey, movies, we're over here. We want to be a part of your team. And the movies are like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, they don't. If the movies would just acknowledge maybe one line of, hey, this is, you know, like S.H.I.E.L.D. is happening, or like there's Inhumans out there, it would give this more of a credibility boost. But for me watching it, it's just like,
that's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. And it's just like, all right, the TV show wants to be, is like little brother.
And it's like, they're trying so hard to join the party and play along. You know, they're like, look, I got cool toys over here, when the big guys are just, you know, they're playing sports and they're on.
Yeah. But like, the DC universe, not even doing that. You got like a fucking Superman that it's on Supergirl that shows up in the distance and texts, you know. So you got, they're at least trying to tie it together. They're talking about it. They're not, they're showing footage and stuff.
Well, no, I appreciate my point the effort.
Is,
yeah.
My point is, if you're not going to, if it's going to be its own thing, let it be its own thing. Like, if you're going to try to tie it in, go all the way and tie it in. Don't just have one side being like, oh, we're it's really connected. And then the movies are like, nah, it's not fucking connected. Get the hell away from us. Don't touch me.
I mean, whether it derailed the plot or not.
Well, it didn't derail it. It made sense.
Yeah, and it was like, but it was kind of funny how, like, they're leading Talbot around while this whole other, like, side secret thing is going on right under his nose. But again, Coulson, obviously you'd think he'd be on Team Cap, but he's seen what these people could do, so maybe he wouldn't be. And then Talbot, he works for the government. He's got orders. However, at the same time, they saved his son. They've done good, and he's seen this. So, I don't know. I don't know. Well, Tom says good point, TK.
I make good points on occasion.
Anyways, what else did we like? We got to see Lash. I was like, where the fuck is Lash? They had Lash the whole time, and he's permanently changed. And there was a whole little switcheroo. Ruggs, did that switcheroo get you?
No, I knew as soon as May was looking up at those lights.
Oh.
I knew that there was some shenanigans going on.
It got me.
It got me. I didn't, because wasn't there, it looked like he was in the, as the Quinjet was taken off, he was in the cockpit, so I just bought it. But great switcheroo, and then, I don't
know. You know why I believed it? Let me just say why I believed it.
Yeah.
I've believed all along that Lincoln has loved Skye's pussy so much that he would do something like that.
Oh, shit. Absolutely.
I mean, and to be completely honest, I would probably enjoy her vagina as well. So,
oh shit! Good point, you know. DK. another good point. Look, yeah, you feel that he's such a dummy that he doesn't even know that she's luring him into a trap. And at one point, I was like, "Good, go! You're stupid. I hate you. Go get hyped because you're an idiot." I was like, "You're so stupid. Why are you listening to her?" And then the switcheroo was great, and the other switcheroo was great. Is that I always thought Lash's purpose was to kill Hive. Turns out, maybe it wasn't. Maybe his purpose was to save Daisy. He sucks the Hive out of Daisy, which is how we get Daisy back.
Yes.
And then he gets killed by that dude James Hellfire. With, I loved his lighty chain. Ghost Rider chain. That's apparently that's from the comic books. Like, that character Hellfire has a fire chain like that. And
I don't like the Lash went down so easy.
Yeah. I thought he was way more powerful than that. And Hive disappears. Talbot had some great lines though. What'd you think of his lines? I thought Talbot was hilarious the whole episode. He's like,
yeah, he mispronounced everybody's name or didn't give a fuck what he was saying.
He goes, Rasta Hulk is your husband? He's like, I don't care if he's Gandhi. I want to get him. And, like, I just felt bad for Coulson because he was looking so bad when Talbot's trying to, like, assess things. And he's like, really, Coulson?
Can I just say that I half called it. I did call that they were going to use Lash to fight Hive.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to go I didn't think he was going to die like a fucking pussy, but
right.
I did call that. Just want to say that.
You did. I remember.
I love Talbot going, who names these fucking things? He didn't swear, but he should have. but what do you guys think of those fucked up inhuman half-breeds that they created?
That's fucking weird, dude.
They're called primitives, and they're actually from the comic books. The primitives are just like the working class of inhumans. They're kind of like the dozers from Fraggle Rock that they just build the shit for them, and they're not very smart. So I love that moment where Hive, where the doctor is like apologizing, give me another chance, and Hive is just like, no, these will do. This is just fine. Thanks.
Exactly what I wanted.
And he's like, make me more. So the big takeaway, again, let's see. There's themes of faith and destiny running throughout the episode, which are great. And Mac and Yo-Yo are adorable, as they were in the last episode.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you didn't see the Civil War movie and then you learned about Peggy's death from this show, if that would be jarring for anyone all of a sudden.
Well, if you know that Peggy's old, then
that's
yeah.
true. That's true.
I think they're banking on the fact that if you're watching this show, you're a pretty committed Marvel fan. So it might be a little jarring, but I don't
right? I love that. But I do, look, whether it's shoehorned, I do kind of like how they take the Civil War discussion and it becomes like, it's like gun control. It's really the same discussion.
Well, here's the thing about that discussion, though. I think it was a little more one-sided on this medium.
Yeah.
Because it felt like S.H.I.E.L.D. was clearly right. Like, these guys should not be registered at
right.
all.
Right, yeah.
Like, we need these guys on our team. Like, I didn't get the other viewpoint. The viewpoint that you were getting was from Talbot, who's basically a joke on the show. So
right.
it really felt like there was just one side on this. Whereas the movie did a better job on balancing.
Talbot's like, this shit's going to be confidential. No one's. It's highly classified. No one's going to know this shit. Yeah. Only us and then blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, at least it gives you a little bit of information about what they're planning on doing. They're not just going to place it on the front page of the paper.
But whether you trust him or not is a different matter. We know how bureaucracies work.
Yeah.
Right. I loved how they mentioned Hive was like the origin story for a lot of devil myths in society. I love when they do shit like that, when they fucking bake it into the regular world. And then at the end, you see Yo-Yo give Mac the cross. The very same cross that Daisy saw in her flashback of the future in the Quinjet when someone dies.
Oh, shit.
But then I noticed in the preview for the next episode, Fitz was holding the cross. And I was like, oh, boy, yeah. They're going to do this fucking thing now? God damn it. Look.
Pass the cross.
They're going to pass the cross. Next week is a two-hour season finale. Someone is going to die, hopefully. That's what they said.
You know what's going
to
happen?
To the left.
All right, Anthony, prediction?
Hive is going to have all these motherfucking S.H.I.E.L.D. agents on their knees. The sand is going to come out, and we're going to cut to next season.
Oh, no, they're going to pull a fucking Negan on us.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God, that would be the worst. This show cannot.
Could you only imagine building it up just like Walking Dead?
Walking Dead can barely earn the right to pull that off. This show, no.
It's not going to happen.
That's a good one, though. Ruggs, what do you think is going to happen? Who's going to die? I have it down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. 5 possibilities.
Okay, let me hear your options.
Mac?
I think it's going to be May, by the way.
I don't think it's going to be May. I don't think May. It's going to be. I think it's going to be Mac.
It's going to be May.
Look, it's out of these 5 people: Mac, Yo-Yo, Fitz, Simmons, and Lincoln. And I think the most impact, you kill Fitz.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
That you're going to do the most damage.
Because they've had this love story, and they've been teasing the fact that they're star-crossed.
Yes. And they just kind of like got together. They just signed the.
Is it going to be for reals dead or just like. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Like Arrow dead.
Well, they did kill Triplett. We haven't seen him back. Although Triplett was pretty much a nothing character when they killed him.
Also, it's weird how this is very similar to what's going on in Arrow right now. Anybody else pick up on that? You got a Hive
we'll
in this show.
We'll get to
show.
That.
It's weird. It's just it's a weird coincidence. But look, I enjoyed this episode. I'm excited to see.
I liked it as well.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was a good one. All right, moving on.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Imran.
Hey, Rug Boy.
Wouldn't it be great, since we're putting out all this content, that our listeners could support us? And maybe we had some kind of, like, website or a way for them to do that?
Rugs, that's a great idea. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
Jock and Nerd.
Okay, it's all set up, listener. Just visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Wowie zowie!
Patreon is our virtual tip jar where you can donate any amount of money either per month or a nice large sum all at once. And on that Patreon, you get bonus content, as Imran mentioned. But if we hit certain plateaus every month, we improve our production quality. We get better equipment. We get on more platforms. It only helps us. So please get on to patreon.com/jockandnerd or jockandnerd.com/Patreon and support the show.
Jocktastic! I hear change jingling in your pocket. Don't fucking fuck me over, guys. Do it!
Hi, this is Mark. Congratulations, you have found this amazingly awesome show. Chances are you're listening to it right now on whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or some other mobile app that allows you to stream this amazingly awesome show to your ear holes. And I can't stress how awesomely amazing this show really is. But did you know that you can also catch the latest episode of this show on the Tangibound Network? That's right. Go check out tangiboundnetwork.com. You can look them up, and you can listen to it right there. It's even mobile-friendly. What more could you ask for? Which means you can pull it up on your iPhone or your Android, even your Windows phone. Yeah, who has one of those? But still, point remains, you can do it. You can do it. Check it out, tangiboundnetwork.com. Listen to this show, the latest episode, every time. Check it out.
Doc and Nerd
Podcast. Trap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
Hey, everybody. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We are going to now talk about this week's new episode of The Flash. And I'm very excited for this one. It's season 2, episode 21, titled The Runaway Dinosaur. Directed by Kevin Smith.
Geek Booners.
You've been hyping this one up.
Dude, all sorts of geek worlds colliding. Now, Tom says, so good. I really enjoyed what he did with this episode. If you want, you know, I was thinking, like, what is he going to do different? Where do I see a little bit of Kevin Smith? Where do I – and for the most part –
the Jason Mewes appearance.
Well, the Jason Mewes appearance was hilarious. Where he's like,
I thought it was random as fuck. I thought it was funny, but it was random as fuck.
You knew that was like me expecting Spider-Man in Civil War. I knew that was gonna happen. I was like, this is gonna be great to see how it happens. And he's with a girl, and then she's like,
you know what it was
car?
More like? It was more like watching a Marvel movie and waiting for Stan Lee to appear.
That's definitely the equivalent of a Stan Lee cameo. He's like, that's my mom's car. It was hilarious. But overall, like the parts where he was in the Speed Force, I thought that was really well shot, well done. I love the palette. Rugs, what did you think?
I didn't really like a lot of it, but Kevin Smith is a weird director, okay? And I'll point it out, the part that I get, his directing is kind of muddy in some ways. I love Kevin Smith, though. It just sometimes his directing is weird. When they find the bodies of Jesse Quick and the other guy. What's his name?
Wally West.
Wells goes over and tries to revive Jesse Quick. And then you can't tell if he's trying to revive her or not. He just has his hands in a weird way. And I was like, dude, like the director should have been like,
that was the worst fake acting of CPR I've ever seen. I'll agree.
As a director, you should have seen that. There was a lot of clumsy shit like that.
That took me out of it because I noticed it. I was like, the thing is, dude, it's hard to fake CPR. You will break someone's fucking rib.
Oh, come on. They've been doing it since like forever. They've done it in every movie.
What you're supposed to do is you don't show the body and you just show the top of the guy and like he's really doing compressions.
Yeah, like directing 101. All right, come on.
It was really bad fake.
I did not like that. And I also did not like that the Speed Force talked as people. Well, that was completely unnecessary.
That's the writing, dude. That's not the directing.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't like that either. I hated that. I hated that the Speed Force talked. And that it turned to characters from his life. It should have been him just hallucinating and not the Speed Force.
Anthony, comment.
No, if Rugboy hated that, then that's That's literally like what made the episode really good or really bad. So if you hated that, you're not going to like that episode at all. So I can see Rug Boy's point. It took me a while to get used to the Speed Force being a living sort of thing. But once I got into it and once I got to his to him talking to his mom, for me, that sold it. And I really enjoyed it. I really liked when his mom was like, it's me and it's the Speed Force and your mom.
Talk.
Like
he said,
the bonding with his mom and him like having to let go. The bigger theme of him having to let go of
accepting her death.
Accepting her death.
To move on. And I was like,
I thought it was really well done.
I mean, it was a little predictable. I was like, oh,
Imran, were you going to start coughing?
That
there?
Blur, was I?
Couldn't, yeah, I don't know. You couldn't sit in silence for too long.
If I don't talk, my vocal pipes dry out and my head shrinks.
Oh, shit.
It's true, people. look, I gotta disagree. I really kind of enjoyed the mystery at the beginning. It was kind of funny where he's like, it's like talking to gravity. I'm talking to the Speed Force. But as it went on, I really appreciated the way he shot those scenes, the orange kind of dreamy, dusty palette, and how the characters got more and more personal every time they were talking to him. I think the performances saved everything because these people are so good together, man. They'll get you welling up with tears at the right moments. And yeah, I loved him and his mom, him getting another chance. I almost thought that the Speed Force was going to tell him that actually you are supposed to go back and save your mom. You fucked up the first time, but that's not where it went. It was more.
I hate all that. I hate all that stuff where something you're destined to be you're always destined to be the Flash, or this person's always destined to be Spider-Man, and there's like they put all this shit into it like that makes it doesn't make it special anymore.
I like the point that he gave up the Speed Force, and the Speed Force is pretty much saying, look, we chose you, dude. You had no right to give up the Speed Force, kind of, because we picked you for a reason. And
I hate that.
Yeah,
I hate that. Sorry,
it shows that he is special.
I totally understand where Rugboy's coming from. I would sort of disagree in that I don't think it. Yes, they were hinting that they chose him, but they also were like, if you want to leave, you can leave.
And that's true.
You can go back to your time. You just won't have. You won't the speed have force.
I would have preferred it if a good director and a good writer would have made it so it was kind of ambiguous to whether he's flipping out and just kind of like lost and he's imagining all this stuff, or whether it's really happening and it's the fucking Speed Force talking to him, which I think is silly and dumb.
I'll let me just interject here. I think what they were trying to do was get into the him and his mom getting those scenes in there, and they were like, how do we get this to happen without it being a dream? Well, let's just make it part of the Speed Force. So I think the bigger premise was them hinting at him getting over his mom's death, and then they were just using the Speed Force as a proxy. I mean, it was very wacky.
It's a little wacky. So, look, as much as I enjoyed overall the episode, the couple things that bothered me really were, this is a real nitpicky thing, but when, like, I love how Cisco vibed and kind of saw him. He's standing in this swirl store, but, like, he's standing on nothing, and you're like, oh, it's just a big fucking green screen, and he's standing on the ground. Like, it just bothered me that he was just floating. Like they,
you know, you are the king of nitpicks.
I don't like, no, but they could have easily just made him like hanging instead of actually like he was floating in there instead of standing on a fake invisible floor. It just looks.
It's so funny. You'll pick these nitpicks out, but then you'll totally accept that a 15-year-old boy can make a Spider-Man suit.
Well, yeah, because when you get bitten by a radioactive spider, spiders know how to weave. Spiders know how to weave, and that information was transformed to Peter Parker, making him an excellent seamstress.
Geek boner.
Or something like that. No, I don't know.
I'll buy that more than the Speed Force.
The Speed Force is weird.
Okay, look, here's a nitpicky. This is not nitpicky. This is straight out story thing. Fucking zombie girder for no reason. What was the point
of... Yeah, that was unnecessary.
What was the point of zombie girder? Like, just so they can make more iZombie and Walking Dead fucking references. He was only there so that when Barry got back there, I don't know. What was the, I don't know. Just, I don't know why.
They needed a villain.
It just gave urgency to what was going on. Like, right.
So
it really wasn't about the zombie. It was about him giving up his past.
I like the development.
Being compliant with his past.
We get with Jesse Quick. In that, where they kind of mentioned, like, she's in the same coma Barry was. And then he comes and he, like, zaps her and he activates her. She wakes up. But what the fuck? Nothing happened to Wally? What's Wally's deal? He's just fine? And she's in a fucking coma. I didn't understand that.
Maybe his power will be just a slightly different. We'll see.
I love.
He's going to become another version of the Flash.
And Jesse Quick is. And I love Cisco. It's like, what, are you like magic now? I do appreciate, like, he came back and he seems more confident and more sure and he's gotten this closure and he's like, all right, I'm back. I'm the Flash. Let's fucking get Zoom.
I don't know. I feel like that whole drama is completely concocted, that he had this conflict. He was fine fighting crime for an entire year, two seasons. And now he's conflicted. It just doesn't make sense.
Or slightly.
It just slapped on. I don't know. I didn't like it. I mean, going back to that well, I don't like it.
Iris is getting a lot hotter through every episode.
Absolutely.
I will disagree, Rugby. I really like this episode, although I completely see his point, too. So I just accepted
it. I like that he got his powers back. I like that, that he was trapped somewhere and then the team had to get him out and coax him back out into reality. I think that's cool, but I think everything else was the Speed Force and the relatives and the closure with his mom and reading the book. I'm like, does this really need to happen? You know?
The other ridiculous thing was like how they stop Girder, where he just runs around him, and then some mumbo jumbo about he's charging the magnets. And I was like, what? Okay. So Tom has a good question. He says, did you catch any of the cameos in Zoom's gang? So at the very end, it's kind of awesome. Zoom goes to Caitlin and goes, look, I'm going to give you one last chance. I got to go out there. I got to talk to my people. If you're here when I get back, I know you're with me. If you're not here, then I will show you the same mercy I'm going to show everyone else. And Zoom steps out of the police station on the balcony. There's a gaggle of evil metahumans that I guess he brought from Earth 2. I did not catch any of the cameos. Tom, drop some names if you know. I know Jason Mewes was one of the masked people in there, but I'm not sure who all those people were. I wonder if it's in this. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't pause it, and I deleted the episode right after to save space on the DVR, but I'm sure there were a bunch of villains in there.
He's got to look at screenshots. Yeah, no, that's exciting. So Zoom has a fucking army now, and we got two episodes left till the end of the season.
Well, that would justify needing like Wally West, Jesse Quick, and Jay Garrick from Earth 2.
The real Jay Garrick. So
that's why you would need four speedsters.
I would, I just want to recommend the latest episode of Fat Man on Batman, a podcast that needs no promotion from our dumbasses. It's doing fine, but on the latest episode I listened today, it was very interesting. He has Teddy Sears, who plays Jay Garrick, and then he has the guy who wrote the episode. So Sears, first of all, Smith has talked about how he loved this directing gig and how it's kind of like a well-oiled machine. Like, the director really doesn't even have to do anything, but the cast actually appreciated that he was such a big fan and he was so into it. Teddy Sears talked about, like, getting Zoom and trying not to spoil it and how he was Jay Garrick for so long that even he in his head was like, they told him what was going to happen. He was like, hey, maybe that's not going to happen. And then when that scene where he does the reveal, where he takes his mask off, he talks about how in that instant, for a moment, he was confused on the character himself. He was like, I don't know who I'm playing anymore. But he's done an amazing job, just like Tom Cavanaugh, of playing like three different people. And it's a great little insight on this episode. So definitely check that out. Anything else, guys?
No.
I think we all made our points.
Moving on.
Prepare to be spoiled.
Okay, guys, we are now on this week's episode of Arrow, season 2, episode 21, titled Monument Point, and as crazy as this episode was, the show continues to just kind of be all over the place a little bit, which is frustrating. But some crazy shit happened. Stuff exploded. Tens of thousands of people actually died in this episode.
They went there.
They fucking
went
there.
Yeah, that was crazy that they went there.
So basically, just like in the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, we find out that Hive's plan, he's got a warhead. This is what he stole from ATCU. He's going to set off this warhead and spread this fucking primitive virus, change the whole planet into primitives. Okay, I get it. He's got control of people. Dark's plan is a little more fucking stupid because it doesn't make sense. He stole Rubicon. He has control of all the nuclear launch codes around the world, and they have 21 hours to set it off while they live in a fucking bubble underground. But Ruggs, we said it last week. If he nukes the planet, you can't go outside for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah, so he'll be the lord of that little shithole that he has underground.
What is the point of this plan?
Let me defend it.
Okay.
I think he kind of knew that the team would stop some of these nukes, hence they did. And what he's really after is at least getting one warhead to hit so that his powers are stimulated by death. So if he can get at least one of these to hit, he's going to become uber powerful.
Oh, snap.
Hence why
that's what was happening.
Hence why he knew that they would go after the calculator and get him. Like, that's why he was trying to protect it. But I'm pretty sure, like, just my inference that he knew that they were going to be able to stop at least some of these warheads from happening.
I mean, I enjoyed the drama and the suspense in this because they stopped all but one. And at the last minute, Felicity
could not believe they went there.
Felicity changes the GPS and it hits a town of Haverford. And they're like tens of thousands dead. I was like, what the fuck? But then that's why at the end when we see Hive, when they finally get to Dark, he's sucking up all this magic from the totem. That's where it's coming from. That makes so much sense now.
Just to run through the plot real quick, the whole team of Arrow was trying to capture Calculator. He's the only guy that can stop the Rubicon.
Hack the Rubicon.
Or get hack the Rubicon, which is where all the codes for the missiles are. And it's just a game of like hide and go seek and who can get to Calculator first, and they get to him. Arrow's team gets to him and they stop all but one.
There was kind of a cool action scene. A lot of just aimless shooting, of course.
Which cool action scene?
At the end when Argus shows up. And they got to stop him from getting to Felicity and the Calculator.
I got to be honest. I don't even watch Arrow, even Flash for the action scenes anymore because they're just not good.
There was all this shooting and nobody was getting hit and you hear gunshots and I'm like, where are people shooting?
It's always like with Arrow, it's always like when they get to their action scene, it's like a wide shot, obviously. And it's like they put on the same music and it's always like a little dance. Like they're just doing a dance on there.
It's starting to seem really choreographed.
It's the sameness of the choreography.
I see what you're saying. That's why that one, who was that one director that did that like single camera? It must have been a different fight choreographer and director. It was really good. They've never done that again, you know.
But what'd you guys think of where they went? Because let's talk about that because that's the biggest thing.
Ruggs, what'd you think?
I don't remember what you're talking about.
Where Felicity killed tens of thousands of
people.
The
fact that they killed all these people and a nuclear missile goes off.
I thought you meant they went somewhere physically. Oh, you mean they went okay.
Dramatically. Oh boy.
I think it's kind of ballsy. Where is the city located? Is it in America?
Yeah, it's nearby Monument Point where it was going. It's just like,
is Monument Point in Starling City? Star City?
I forget. Yeah, right. There was a bunch of all those names they named, like it was all Easter egg places. Monument Point. And Cordo Maltese, he mentioned. So a suburb of Monument Point is Havencraft. Monument Point is actually showrunner Mark Guggenheim created both Monument Point and its suburb of Havencraft for when he was writing Justice Society of America. So those are from the comic books. But I was just shocked that a fucking nuclear missile went off. And this should be big news.
It's huge. I mean, in terms of like just for storyline, and it was like Rugboy said, very ballsy. I'm not sure how I felt about it yet. You could see the way Felicity pulled it off that it was a big deal. It better be a fucking big deal,
right?
I mean, that I don't remember any superhero show going that crazy.
I don't know. I think it's a hard thing to come back from if you fucking let all these people die. I mean, that should change the show. That should really change everybody's.
Like Felicity should never want to do that stuff again. Like she should never want to be like, she should just be like, I'm done.
Absolutely.
There's blood on my hands.
All of them. It was
like, well, it's all on their hands, but they were even like, no, redirect it to here. And then even Diggle's girlfriend was like, well, it wasn't millions. It was like she said something along the lines.
It would have been
like,
tens. It would have been millions as opposed to tens of thousands.
But holy fuck, tens of thousands! Like it better be a long-lasting thing.
That was crazy. And I don't know if this is going to, yeah, it better be.
Ollie's just going to use magic and it will never happen.
They might magic it out. Plus, Dark has lots of magic now. Well, what do you guys think? We also saw Anarchy, kind of a weird shoved in shoehorn thing.
Yeah, all of a sudden he shows up.
Up in the bubble town where Thea is, and they have a fight, and he zaps Alex, and blah blah blah.
Alex is dead, right?
I wasn't sure because she's like, I'm sorry, but I didn't know if it was.
They did the whole like mute the sound, music in the background. She checks his pulse, starts crying. Like I'm pretty sure she's like they implied he's dead.
He might be dead. He was being.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I didn't get that feeling.
And they're shipping in a bunch of people. Like, who are these people that they're letting in these gray suits? It's very weird. The whole plan is weird. I love the line where Layla, when the team gets together, and Layla is like, the president asked me if the fate of the world was resting in the hands of an IT girl, a criminal, and two guys in Halloween costumes. And Ollie's like, these are not Halloween costumes.
Maybe they're going to undo everything that Dark did, every person that Dark was responsible for killing, and then Laura will come back.
Oh, snap. Well, magic is definitely going to play a big part because we saw in the flashbacks, Ryder can't be killed and he's got tons of magic. And then the girl's carrying the stone and now she's got the magic.
You know how I could see that happening? If they like kill Dark or like play with the idol, like any life that he's taken will just come back out.
Dude, I think.
Talking nerd!
I think we just spoiled the end of the fucking. This is the season finale. I think you're absolutely right.
I don't know how the show can continue with having tens of thousands of people.
No, once they kill Dark, all those magic souls will be released and return to everyone, meaning that fucking Laurel could come back.
Yeah, it'll be like magic. We'll go back to normal.
We will see her next week, though, on The Flash. As
Rug Boy, did you like this episode? Canary.
What, of Arrow?
Yeah.
It was all right. I mean, I like that they went there, and it was entertaining, but, like, I don't know. I'm not really liking this show as much as I used to like it.
No,
I completely agree with everything he just said.
It's definitely not on par to what it used to be, and they've been promising like big changes for season 5 because I think they're hearing all the fan reaction.
Well, every season has been like about destroying Starling City, so now it's about destroying the world.
Yeah,
so the stakes are higher, but it's still the same shit, right? Yeah. It's still world-ending stakes, but like Rugboy said, I'm very surprised that they would go the route they did with the killing tens of thousands of people. I did not see that happening.
They've also, Kevin Smith has expressed interest in writing for Arrow. And I think they might let him write for Arrow, not direct. He has written Green Arrow in the comic books. So I think he would have a good understanding of this character in this universe. So I don't know.
Like write one episode?
He's talking or about, I would love to jump in for a one or two episode arc just to bring that onomatopoeia character to life. Which one was onomatopoeia? That's who he wants to do. That would be so badass. Oh, I created this character in the comics, and then to do a live action version of it that fit into their universe, fit into the run of the show, that would be exciting to me. So he would want to write in a character that he created for the comics. Give him a shot. Listen, it can't get any worse, really, the way the show's going this season. Yikes. All right. Yeah. I mean, the show, I don't know. I'm expecting.
Do you guys like this season better than last season? Because I felt last season was really bad.
I think it's almost the same.
Yeah. This season is equally fractured.
It had promise. It had promise.
I will go and give credit. I think Neil McDonough is a much more charismatic actor than the guy who played Ra's al Ghul ever was.
Yeah, but
so I at least like enjoy watching Neil McDonough on screen.
I think they could use him better though. He's not getting enough. I just hope that there's a giant fucking battle, huge stakes, show us something that actually cares, let someone die and stay dead. But that's not gonna happen.
You know what this show needs though? It doesn't need like huge stakes like that. Like yes, they've been doing this, the city's gonna die every season.
Yeah.
Like the reason why season 2 was so awesome was because yes, the city was gonna die, but you had built Deathstroke from season 1 as a hero to season 2 being a villain, and there was that more of that personal brothers bonding than fighting sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Damian Dark, even though they've killed Laurel and made it a little more personal, Damian Dark doesn't have that connection to Ollie like Deathstroke. Yeah, that's why like season 2 for me is still like the peak, and I don't know if they'll ever get to that.
Dude, Manu Bennett's Deathstroke is the best villain they've ever had. I don't know how they
because it's like It's like Loki in the Avengers. Yep. It's like the same comparison. Loki in the Avengers had Thor to build up Loki and all his motivations. Just like Deathstroke in season one, they had that to build him up so that by the time it rolls around to season two, it's more tragic. Unlike like Avengers Age of Ultron, where they throw Ultron in one movie and build him up all in one movie just to kill him. That's what they've been doing these seasons with the villains.
And there's too many gimmicks on the show. First of all, you got the flashback gimmick that's getting tired already.
Yeah, it sucks.
And they got to stop with that. They should just take the show in a bold new direction.
We're going to have at least another year of that.
And they keep undoing everything. So they get Felicity shot in the legs and she can't walk. And then they fix it in two episodes. So, like, everything that they do, they fix it. The only thing that was cool that happened this whole season was that Diggle killed his brother.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
You're right. They undercut themselves with that
stuff.
Well,
they
do something, but then it means nothing three episodes later.
When a character in a show, Lance, just says, hey, nobody dies around here. Like, it's already gone too far. Like, even the characters are like, this is fucking Arrow. People are going to come back. Now... Yeah. I wouldn't mind if they turned one of these characters into a villain because we've
known tried them. That too with the sister and that didn't last.
But keep them bad, and maybe Roy Harper comes back and does something. I don't know. I don't know.
You know what they? You know where they did, when they did that? Yeah. They did it with Deathstroke.
Well, yeah, I'm saying do
and
another.
That's why it was awesome. Yeah.
They need to do. It needs a huge shakeup moving forward for next season. So, okay, last show. Let's do it.
Let's spoil some shit, Batman.
Ow, the freshly watched Legends of Tomorrow is what we're discussing right now. Season 1, episode 15, called Density. I mean, Destiny.
I thought it was stupid.
Show...
Let's throw a rug boy.
Okay, Rugs, what was stupid about tonight's episode?
You know I hate when they do something that is not well thought out and they try and make like this big shocker, like... All of a sudden, they find out that the future has all been planned. And like, okay, that's great. If you fucking would have planned it from the beginning, we would have been like, oh, my God. Like when you're watching Memento and all of a sudden some shit fucking falls into place and it makes complete sense. No, you just said that. And now like we're supposed to buy it? No, that's bullshit.
They clearly just thought of this Oculus thing. Past couple of
don't try that. Like,
I can't think back like Rugboy said in Memento. You can like think back. And be like, oh, he was getting played. Or, oh, yeah, they were getting manipulated. And, like, they kind of hinted at that, but they did this,
it was forced.
Montage of scenes where you couldn't really see what was being manipulated. And I can't think back to one single time in this episode, in these past 15 episodes or whatever, where I was like, oh, yeah, they were being manipulated. I can't point one out.
I mean,
fuck them.
He pretty much turns out nobody asked free will. The Time Masters have been engineering all of their moves. Everything they thought they were doing was supposed to happen or some shit. But
well, that, you know what else that does is if they had no free will, that means the prior 15 episodes like kind of are rendered meaningless because this whole time you're like, oh, you know what? They're all actively making choices to better themselves. No, they weren't actively making choices to better themselves. The Time Masters were fucking making these choices for them. So these characters have all never had a decision in what they're doing.
Yeah.
Why would they do this? This is all stupid shit.
What was
like, it's completely unnecessary. Like, the whole story was going fine.
It totally.
I guess the only redeeming quality, though, is like Rip's been this like awful leader for 15 episodes.
And he's still going to be.
But it's not his fault.
But at least he can point to the Time Master. He's like, no, they were pulling my strings. I really am an awesome leader.
He'll just every time they bring something up, he'll just be like, Time Masters. Oh, by the way, we should call them Time Bastards. That was probably the best line.
That was a funny
line. Snarty was Snart? Let's talk about Snart.
He was very snarty.
He was very snarty. But I loved it. He's like, anybody call for a rescue? And he's just
at this point he's just hamming it up. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit anymore.
No, and it's great, but I didn't see that ending coming. I should have though, because he's building up they like all of a sudden out of nowhere build this like romantic interest with him and Sarah, and he's like,
I didn't see that coming.
Time traveling around you, me, the Wave Rider. And so the whole End
but
of it
when
is
you're doing it. It just sounds stupid.
Oh my god! It's
and
so
you're doing
ridiculous.
It just like he's doing it.
Wait, what was the other line? Was
well, they were like they said something about like chaos. He's like chaos, Simon, or something yes. stupid like that.
Sounds like a plan.
He's like, yeah. This is madness. And I like it. Like, it's like, I don't like it when I'm the one being played. Oh, I love it.
And there are no strings on me.
I fucking love it.
Did he
it.
Say that? Oh, yes. Or is that Kronos?
No, he says that at the very end.
Yeah.
So Rip sees Ray dying, blowing up the Oculus. This was a little bit laughable because Ray's like, okay, I gotta do this. And then Mick comes up, knocks him out. He's like, no, I gotta do this. It. And then fucking Snart comes, knocks Mick out, and he goes, no, I'm doing it. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Is this fucking musical chairs? But
it would have been more believable for me if Mick stayed in there. Like, I don't believe that Captain Cold would be the one to, like, sacrifice his life for the team.
No.
Mick, I could see him, like, doing it as redemption. Maybe not Captain Cold.
I mean,
he's been too much of a selfish asshole to want to do something like that.
I thought Cold was going and I thought he was kind of having a character turn and was actually trying to be a good guy, and they were going to use him. But he could not be dead also. There's time travel involved, and this is fucking the CW DC universe. But holy shit, dude, I was shocked that they actually made us think that Snart is dead. He may be dead. But you know what? There is a new season of Prison Break that he has to start shooting. So that might be why they had to kill the Leonard Snart. But he gets a kiss from Sarah right at the end.
I got to point out, Sarah was looking really good in this episode.
I love the Katie Lotz, dude.
Yeah,
she's great as Black Canary.
You gotta follow her on Instagram.
Oh yeah, okay, no, I follow her on Twitter, and
I follow her to her apartment
on Twitter.
Oh,
you follow
shit.
Her on Twitter.
That's
what's
what
wrong
that,
with you?
That, what?
Why would you follow her on Twitter?
Yeah, get with the snaps, baby. Cool. Snapchats.
So she posts photos of when she's like in town and going places and with the on set and shit. It's cool.
Instagram, bro.
Whatever, it's too many fucking things with your Snapchat and your Tinders and your Bumbles and your Grinders and your Instas and your...
But Twitter, why do you want to hear what someone thinks? Just want to look at them.
I just do want to see photos. You're absolutely right, which is probably why, the Instagram account would be... Yeah. She should just cross-post to her Twitter account!
I got to point out another dose of bad acting when... Hawk Girl is like crying out for Savage to not kill the family.
Don't kill it.
Don't do it. Yeah, I was like, oh my god.
I do.
She's awful.
I do like. I like when Savage finds out when it's all fucked up and. She's
well, this makes Savage look like a tool.
Yeah, he was. He was. They were. So they were controlling him too. Nothing he did. They were using him. They were using everyone.
Yeah. I just want Vandal Savage to make me a falafel.
I would have liked it if like the Time Masters were working with Savage like they had originally done, but I didn't like the shoehorning in of this was all planned and like this they never had any choices in this matter.
I hate it.
I like the Easter egg of he said in 2177 the Earth is on fire from a planet Thanagar, and I was like, oh,
geek boner,
that's the other Hawk planet. That's the Hawk planet. So they had the little Thanagarians drop, but. Yeah, a lot more of Doctor Who Cares up in this episode. So now they can't check the timeline. They're flying blind through time. Time Masters can't help anyone. And then next week is the season finale. Just fucking kill Savage, get it over with, move on to the next thing. I did enjoy Rip shrinking Ray and just putting him in his pocket.
Put him in his pocket.
It's very convenient.
He's like, let me get this guy out of here.
He's like, bleep. Okay, there you go. Just stuck
up. There you go.
I imagine occasionally he gets put into the wash and people forget that fucking Ray's in the pocket and he gets a little tumble dry. Ruggs, you know what that's like.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
All right, that's your Legends talk. We got one more week. Give us something that's just equally as hilarious. And bring back Snart, because I already miss his line delivery.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
All right, gang, we're going to wrap up the show. Just got a couple of little bits to do at the end. I kind of want to, in our last episode, episode 100, I had a bunch of numbers and stats. I'm going to repeat some of these and add to them since we're on the blab. We have some blab stats. Real quick, everybody, just for you guys here in the blab audience, in 100 episodes, we have talked about 151 episodes of 11 different comic book shows.
Oh, shit.
We have reviewed 11 movies.
Oh, shit.
We've had at least 56 different people, conservatively. There's definitely more, counting the blabs.
Oh, shit.
On the show in just a little bit over a year in 100 episodes. So total geeky audio content you can find in our feed, jockandnerd.com, in the podcast feed. It's 175 hours of content. A little over seven days straight. But here's the bonus part. Because we're live on Blab, in our YouTube/Blab channel, which you can find at jockandnerd.com/live, there's links to both of them. We've got 36 Blab shows. That's easily 84 hours of video content.
Geek Booner.
Produced from the Jock Nerd Podcast Studios. Now, some of these shows aren't in the feed. Like our fun interview with Elisa Giordana. That was a good time. Yeah. We had Podcast Fan Appreciation Day. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I did a couple of weird like podcasting episodes with Do Right, and I did one with Kevin from 365 Flix Podcast. But there's hours of bonus free shit on there, and that's it's quite an accumulation and that's like a third of the shows we put out so far.
I'm doing the tabulations.
Do all the calculations.
Let's say I did about 80. Wait, you said 100 hours of shows?
175.
Let's say I did about 100 or maybe 90 hours. And if I charged for an hour, $10 an hour, that's nine grand you owe me.
That's,
damn it.
The check's in the mail. But you know what? The
is
real.
That right, Anthony?
Yeah. You, $10 an hour?
Yeah.
About nine grand.
But what it actually costs for you, the listener? Absolutely zero.
Talking nerd.
And we hope you're enjoying all this geekery. I got a couple of listener feedback things I want to share. Scott Weinstein, our buddy that was on the show, he tweeted at us, congratulations at Jock and Nerdcast on your 100th episode. Here's to many more. Thank you, Scotty.
Been on the show.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a co-producer of Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update. Writing jokes, hanging out with, Colin Jost.
And celebs.
And celebrities, yeah. And he's got great stories. Definitely go check out that show. He's got a lot of fun backstage stories. Another comment from our Facebook page from David Malofsky when we asked for thoughts on Civil War. He posted a video. They have a little video over there at A Place to Hang Your Cape, AP2HYC. The video is called Captain America Civil War is the Worst Marvel Movie.
Oh, shit.
Basically, one of their writers, Will, who wrote an article who he also called Guardians of the Galaxy the Worst Marvel Movie, has made a video. And David says, just wanted to add something to contrast all the love I've been seeing for the film, which I actually liked, despite agreeing with Will's points. LOL. I'm going to put the link right here. It's 50 minutes. I listened to some of it. And, basically, we mentioned a lot of the kind of the things that he talks about. But I always like to hear an opposite perspective, whether it's clickbaity or not. Anthony, what I was telling you before, if you click that link and if you look in the side where YouTube suggested similar videos are, you see nothing but reviews that say Civil War sucks, Civil War worst movie, Civil War sucks. And I was like, whoa, there's like a whole bunch of these. That's crazy.
No.
Yeah. Well, look, listen to it whether you agree or not. It'll be in the show notes.
No, I'm disagreeing that there's a lot of these.
/101. There's just a weird – I think Batman versus Superman has done something to the geek society. And now
– made it a Marvel versus DC thing.
Yeah, and now people are going to put things out just because. Either to get it clicked on or just bash because it's just gotten out of
control. There is a very interesting phenomenon. We've seen it on this show where if you are a Batman v Superman lover and someone hates that film, you will defend the fuck out of that film.
Yeah, it's
you will attack people's character if they go against
it's
that.
It's denial.
Film.
It's amazing.
I had your boy Kevin Heldon spam my wall with like box office numbers for how well Batman v Superman was doing. Strangely enough, he hasn't spammed it since the box office numbers have kind of gone downward.
Because by the end of this weekend, by the time this show posts, it will have made more money in like 2 weeks than the other movie made in the whole theatrical run.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, that's all. That says a lot. That says a lot. Look, I want you guys to know that you can find the show at jockandnerd.com, but you can also find it at a bunch of other fun websites with extra geeky content like us. And I want to tell those sites thank you. Thank you to Weeby Geeks. Thank you to Tangent Bound Network. And thank you to A Place to Hang Your Cape. And thank you to Geek Life Radio, where you can hear our show every Wednesday night, 9 p.m., live stream. Thank you guys very much. Thanks to Jordan of the Pies here for working the fourth box.
Yeah, she's doing awesome.
Thanks,
job.
Jordan.
Anthony, we got, I'd love like a Jock and Nerd t-shirt or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd actually prefer like a tank top, like a bro tank.
Look, Rugs.
Oh, look, that's a baby size shirt on Rugboy.
Hey, watch it.
Rugboy, where'd you get that baby shirt? What baby did you steal that Jock and Nerd shirt off of?
The internet gave it to me.
That's right, listener. We got swag. Look, if you've ever wanted our logo on a hoodie or a ringer tee or a douche tank top or a baby's onesie, go to jockandnerd.com/shop. It's a lot of fun. It's a la carte. You build your own. You pick the logo. You pick the style. You pick the colors. It's kind of fun to play around with it. And it helps us spread the word. Helps you spread the word for us. Spread the word.
Jock and Nerd.
Speaking of spreading the word, another way you can do that, besides telling people, which Imran will probably repeat, is you can go on to jockandnerd.com/review. Give us an awesome rating and review that only helps the show. And I think that like spurs us up the iTunes ladder so that when you look up geek podcast or something, we come up quicker.
Look, if you haven't left a review, it takes a couple. You got 2-3 minutes. You're sitting on the throne. You got your phone out. Just go put jockandnerd.com/review. It goes right there. Leave a little review. Light it up. No time at all. Done. Bada bing, bada boom. You're helping us out. Hey, easy peasy. if you want to contact the show, let us know your thoughts. Just go to jockandnerd.com/contact. And finally, Rugs, our call to action has been working, but I want you to issue it right now.
Jockandnerd!
Okay. Before I do that, I'm going to say you can find me on Twitter at ReallyRugBoy.
I always forget that part.
Sorry. Now, this is a call to action. Not only do you have to get the word out, do you have to tell the comic book stores that you go to about the show so they can like spread the word about us and mention it. Maybe they listen to it and they'll mention it to the other clientele. All right, you got to do that. But you know what? This is a show. It's not just a show of us performing. You can be part of the show. You can come join us on Blab. You can send in content. You can write stuff into us. You want to make a song? You want to send in a skit? We'll play it. You know, this is your stage, folks.
Absolutely.
Get active. We want this to be a community.
So, this is like the Apollo Theater in like the 90s.
Yeah.
And we will not send the Sandman out with a hook. Trust me. We don't give a fuck because we would all have been hooked fucking 99 episodes ago. Let me tell you what.
So, yeah, get involved, people. Tell your friends. Tell your friends' moms. Tell your friends, you know, next door neighbor. Tell the weird guy on the street picking his ass and drinking a 40. Go, be, hey, don't. After you finish drinking that 40, you might want to take your phone out and listen to some Jock and Nerd. This is what you have to do. Make people take their phones out and just subscribe. Yeah, I do that all the time. I'd be like, dude, get your phone out right now and don't be a dick face.
Yeah. As soon as they're like, how do I do that? I was like, give me your phone. Look, listener, thank you for being part of the community. Thank you for growing this empire of stupidity. You guys are spreading the word. We're seeing the results and we love it and we're greedy and we want more. More reviews, more comments, and more friends to make and geek out with. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. And thank you. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
Hey, we'll hear you next time.
Terrific. Who cares? A jock said that.
Do you need a podcast?
Geek Boner.
Jock and Nerd. All right, we are officially into the Jock and Nerd Podcast after show, everybody, where we geek out with you guys. We're going to open up the fourth box, and you guys, I want to start by, I think it's very interesting that the one thing I will say about Captain America Civil War versus Batman versus Superman is there's one aspect I wish got flipped, whereas in Batman versus Superman... Again, spoiler. They unnecessarily killed a major character for no reason that made no sense. It was not necessary. Civil War refuses to kill anybody. I kind of wish those elements were flipped in these movies. What do you think?
Yeah. Kill a bad guy.
Kill a motherfucker.
That's what they do all the time. All the bad guys die.
No, not bad guys. I'm talking about killing a hero.
A hero.
Oh.
They did not need to kill a hero in BBS. And maybe there was 12 motherfuckers. You could kill one of them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They killed Quicksilver in Ultron, though.
That's true, but I wish there was no mention. Like, I wish Scarlet Witch had a line talking about her brother. There was no, like, nobody remembered him.
No.
That's true. That's a very good point. I don't think they needed to kill someone, as for reasons I outlined in
the
review.
Yeah, we did say that Rhodey's fate is possibly worse than a death.
Not even Rhodey's fate, but the, like, friendships and, you know, trust is all broken.
You know, what a great show idea I was thinking earlier today is just that you do a comparison of the two movies, like, beat for beat, what's similar and what's different. And, like, I think it would be really interesting because they have a lot of similarities and just a lot of differences. It's crazy. When it's essentially...
Well, you know what's funny about Batman v Superman? This is a thought that's been rolling through my head a lot. Is the people that have really liked this film and, like, been vehemently, like, against anyone that doesn't like this film, like, they're almost arguing, like, no, the critic reviews are wrong, the numbers are wrong that people don't like this film and the word of mouth was bad. You know what? You guys don't understand what was going on. I am smarter than you, and I know I, on some level, have a higher level of thinking, and this movie that Zack Snyder produced appeals to someone like me. Some asshole that fucking can think at a higher level than anybody else. Fuck off. Zack Snyder does not produce movies at a higher level than any fucking anybody. He's not Christopher Nolan. He's not fucking any great director. He's a drop in the bucket.